Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There are three characteristics of the kingdom of God. A kingdom is where a king reigns and rules. We have God upon the throne, Jesus at his right hand, and they are reigning and ruling to everyone who will submit to them. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done from the Lord's Prayer, this is what we're praying would come, that the fullness of the kingdom, which manifests itself in righteousness, peace, and joy, would be present in everything we do. Now, righteousness is given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. It says, him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Righteousness is given. It's our acceptability with God because of Jesus' blood and sacrifice. But when we are righteous, then we have to practice right living. We have to allow his righteousness to dominate our behavior. I read a quote, which I can't probably quote to you accurately, but he said, anything you would forbid your body to do, you must forbid your mind to think. And I loved that. Sometimes we wouldn't do it, we wouldn't say it, we wouldn't act on it, but we're thinking about it. He said, anything you forbid your body to do, you must forbid your mind to think. That means we're going to tap into the peace of God, to the righteousness of God, and to the joy of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're wandering around limping and complaining and aching, you need probably to shout a while. There's a sermon that's floating around. I haven't listened to it. I intend to get to it. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm captured by healing school. And then Thursday, I get to do what I want to. And I may come back to that sermon, but it said, don't let the devil take your shout. And that's what happened. The circumstances of life, we tend to trip over them. And then we tend to moan and groan. But we are people of peace. Now, peace is freedom from frustration, freedom from aggravation, freedom from fear. And I heard in the middle of the night, freedom from panic. It's just no matter what's happening in my life, I'm walking with God, I'm walking in his word, I'm walking in his sacrifice, and I have peace. Peace is calm. It's rest. It manifests as unconcerned, and that's what other people say to you. You're not really concerned. But when you cast every care upon the Lord, he takes care of it. That means you're turning totally loose of it. So if somebody asks you about it, well, what about you? Say, oh, I don't know. I turn that over to the Lord. They're going to think you're crazy, but you're the only one that's steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work and the way of the Lord. You're the one who's anchored in God and anchored in peace. These are the characteristics we're going to see in the kingdom, and the characteristics we're going to see when the kingdom comes. We're going to see his righteousness and his people walking in righteousness. We're going to see the joy of the Lord that shouts unto God, that raises holy hands. We covered that sings like Paul and Silas sang in prison. There wasn't any reason to sing except that God was in control and they trusted him. And that worked out for them. And trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Now, you couldn't trust in a way and be happy if it didn't always work. Right? I mean, you're not going to do anything and shout and cross your fingers and hope this works out. You know, a child from a decent home, you understand we have some indecent homes, but they trust their parents. Joel, as a middle schooler, was rolled by some boys in a sand spur bed at the bus stop. So he came home in the afternoon after school. That was before school, and his back was quite scratched up. But he looked at me, what are we going to do? That means, what are you going to do? Well, I called the lady, and I knew who was the instigator, and the lady didn't speak English. But she got my drift, I think. It didn't happen again. See, but it was because of his trust in his mom and dad that that wouldn't happen again, that mom would fix it. There are things I can't fix, but the one on the inside, the righteous one who lives in me, who has saved me, he can fix it. And when I cast every care upon him, I turn loose of it. Now it says, cast every care upon him, for he's concerned. The translators say he's concerned, and that is so very shallow. I'm concerned, but I may not help you at all. I might say, oh, that's too bad. I hope things work out for you. And all you have is my momentary concern and my words of concern. But when you hire a caretaker for your yard, you don't want them just to be concerned and come by and say, oh, you know, your azaleas are too tall. The minute they quit blooming, you need to trim them to the ground. Have you heard that tale? Don't buy into that, by the way. That's my personal opinion. Not to the ground. And your grass, we always put out, we have acreage, and we always put out winter rye, which at this point, because of the heat, is beginning to die back. And I don't want to say it's too bad about the winter rye. I want to say, now what are we going to do? When I hire a caretaker, I want him to do something. I want him to be active. And when Jesus said, I care for you, means I'm doing something. I'm going to fix this for you. If you follow my directive and allow me to work through you and in you, we can fix this. I, the God of the universe, can fix this for you. Now, years and years ago, my grandmother was, my family's all from Winter Haven. I'm from Auburndale. We lived in Auburndale most of our life, but Mama was from Winter Haven. And I was impressed to go to Granny's grave. You know, my little grandmother weighed about 60, 70 pounds at most. I hadn't been there in decades, and I wondered why I was going. But I told her, you know, let's just drive over there. And we call the cemetery, and they said, we'll mark the grave for you, because I wasn't sure where it was. And it had a big flag on it, which was very nice. They were very nice people. And I stood there, and we carried flowers for whatever reason. She's not there. You knew that, right? And I'm just walking around looking, and there was a grave that was destroyed. It had a lot of damage to it. And I go down there, and I said, Wayne, this is Aunt Ethel. Aunt Ethel's here. Well, she's not exactly here, but her body's here. And so I wanted that damage repaired. I didn't want somebody to say, oh, we're so sorry. I think the man said, I think our tractor ran over it and knocked it down. They knew that hadn't done anything. That's not the kind of God you have. Oh, he knew you were in trouble. He knew you needed something. He's just not working today. That's how some people face it. No, we have righteousness, peace, and joy, and we have a God who's concerned, who's going to take care of things. When you cast it on him, you turn loose of it. Somebody asks you about it, say, oh, that's God's problem. I turn that over to God. Now, if I have a secondary part to play, God's going to come back to me by the Spirit, and he's going to say, if you would do this, or if you would do that. And I'm cooperative with God, but he's in charge of that problem. I'm not doing yard work. And when the man gives me the report, I'm not going to say, oh, thank you for telling me about the azaleas. I'll get right on it. That is not going to happen. I'll tell Wayne, and he'll get right on it. Casting every care upon him. The kingdom of God, we're expecting three things in the kingdom. Righteousness. We are the righteousness of God, and that righteousness is going to prompt us to live right. Now look at Galatians chapter 5. Joy and peace. Galatians 5 needs a little understanding. Verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's allowing your spirit. Walk in your spirit prompted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to notify your spirit so you'll know what your part is, what you're supposed to do. Walk is action. It doesn't say sit in the Spirit. It says when you know what God wants you to do, you take action based upon the knowledge that he has given you by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who leads the human spirit, and it's the flesh who's not authorized to speak to this situation. That means you can't cry and scream and holler and jump up and down. You know all those things that we do? They do. They do. The flesh lusts against the spirit. That's the human spirit. The human spirit wants to follow God. The flesh says no. There's this joke that's flying around. We listen to a preacher that always tells a joke at the beginning. And he said, he had on his bathing suit, and his bathing suit said, you need to go on a diet. But then he put on his sweatpants, and they said, no, it's okay. It's okay. And we're hearing from God, and we know what's okay, and we know what action we need to take. We know when we need to move forward. We know when God needs our cooperation. And we're going to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. The flesh is not authorized to tell me what to do because it only knows fleshly things. It only goes by what you see, what you hear, how you feel. And it's not authorized with that little information to correct the problem or to give me direction. I'm going to get direction. And that direction is going to lead me to peace. You know, we used to sing, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Y'all probably didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Did you? Finally, an old song we can agree on. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. It's your spirit who goes to God, and God who, through the Holy Spirit, gives you the direction, and that direction is going to bring peace. Now, if you go down to the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, that's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we're waiting on the Holy Spirit to make, produce fruit, we're in trouble. There's only one word for spirit in the Greek. It's pneuma. And whether or not they think it's the Holy Spirit or the human spirit is up to the translators. And this is the Holy Spirit as he speaks and deals with the human spirit. And it's the human spirit. It's your spirit. You're a physical body living with a spirit man on the inside. And it's the human spirit who's taken orders and listened to what the Holy Spirit would do. And it's the human spirit that's going to bear fruit. And one of those fruit is peace. Freedom from frustration, freedom from aggravation. Freedom from fear, freedom from relational difficulties, freedom from panic. Now, here's the thing. A lot of things in the scripture, we only look at one side. For instance, we believe in shout. We've taught that. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Sing unto the Lord the voice of victory. Raise holy hands in surrender to the victory of God. We never turn that coin over. And on the backside, you know what it says? Be still and know that I'm God. It's always two-sided. Be still and know. That's a long way from shout. And here, your human spirit hears from the Holy Spirit and has peace. And sometimes peace shouts, and sometimes it sits to make sure it gets its directive correct. So we're going to grow up in peace. Now, the other side of shout and hear from heaven is to know where peace comes from, and it comes from the Father. It comes from God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. He's the only one that can provide. I know you've bought something, and it was perfect. Did that ever happen to you? Yeah. You put it on, and in spite of it was just still perfect? Yeah. Well, Wayne has an opinion about shirts, and we're not always in agreement. But I can pick out a shirt, and I'll say, oh, Wayne, that's perfect. And he'll look, and he'll go, he doesn't think so. He doesn't like vicious prints. He's more solid and a striped man. And so we're not in agreement. But when I hear from God, when he speaks to my spirit, your spirit has eternal life. Now listen to me. Eternal life is the DNA of God. It's the DNA of God. It's who God is that he's given to you. And now you can function by God's directive, and he will guide your footsteps to three characteristics: to live in righteousness, to have the joy of the Lord, and to experience great peace. It's a fruit. Now we planted several lemon trees. They all died, didn't they? Mm-hmm. So we got another one, and it died. We got another one, and it died. And then we decided we're just not fruit tree people. And sometimes we give up. We just surrender. That made me mad. That wasn't fair. I didn't like that. I feel terrible. And we give up. But peace is always anchored. Look at Colossians. Peace is always anchored. That means I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to, we say in the vernacular, don't sweat it. Verse 15, chapter 3. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Rule where? In your heart, in your spirit, and inner man. That means your mind is going to say, did you see that? Did you hear that? Did you feel that? Is your knee bothering you today? There's a precious, precious, I don't know if you pray about medical research, but I hope God leads you to. It's very important. And there was a lady in my family has an extra sensory smell. I don't know why, but we can smell anything and everything. And my father could, my son can, I can, my sister can. It's just amazing. And they took this lady that had such an extraordinary sense of smell, which was familiar to me because our family functions that way. And she could smell Parkinson's disease. She could smell it. She says it smells different. So they lined up everybody they could find, some with Parkinson's, some without. And she went down the line, and she picked out all the Parkinson's by smell. That has made a monumental difference in research and in helping Parkinson's people. She only missed one. Now, let me tell you, this is a true story. The one that she missed had Parkinson's a year later. She smelled it a year in advance. Is that amazing? Pray about medical research. It's very important. But it says, let peace rule. It reigns. It rules. It dictates. Sometimes, you know, peace, I tell you all the time, sounds like your mother. You remember your mother? Right? That's what my mother did. Mother broke switchboard. You know, the kind that's on TV where you unplug this and all these wires and this big board. And she worked switchboard, and she would call me. I learned to cook over the phone. She'd call me what to do for supper. I was a high school student. And then when somebody called in or she had something to do on the switchboard, she'd just hang up on you. And you'd know she'd be back in a minute. And here's what I'm telling you. God's not going to hang up. I'll tell you who hangs up. It's you. Sometimes it's just too much. It's too big. It's too painful. It's too expensive. I'm really picky about, you know that, color coordination. Y'all can write my memoirs, but don't bother. There's nothing in it worth writing. But I'm picky about colors. And our bedroom is not lighted well, and you can't tell blue from black. And it makes me so mad when I get out in the sunshine, getting in my car to go somewhere, and I have on my back pants with a blue shirt. Now, I don't know about you. You do what you want to. This is not a life or death matter. It's a Becky matter. And you do not wear black and blue together. And Wayne, he sees on my face, he says, no, 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 we don't have time. You don't have time to go back and change that shirt. He knows me. He knows I just recognized. So now, when I get dressed, I go out and stand on the front porch. I want to be sure. I got on blue pants today with a blue and black shirt. That was coordinated quite well, I thought. I want to be sure that I do my part, that I look right. Do you know that's how God feels about you? He wants to make sure that you're at peace, that you know healing belongs to you. Now, healing came through the sacrifice of Jesus. Look at Isaiah 53:6, which you probably could quote, because we quote it here all the time. It doesn't bother me if you wear blue and black. It really, I don't care what you do. It just bothers me about me. He was wounded, verse 5, for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took the punishment. He took all that was wrong so that you could walk in peace. Through his sacrifice, you can walk in peace. He is our peace. He made the sacrifice. He took the pain and the agony and the disease and the frustration and left you with nothing but peace and a solution. Just left you with. Now look at Ephesians 2. You got your page turning fingers on today? Ephesians 2, verse 13 and 14. And now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood. For he is our peace. Jesus is your peace. Now listen. The God of peace, and he's called the God of peace in many, many references. We'll look at some. The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace so that man who didn't have peace could, through the blood of Jesus, have peace beyond understanding. And there may be, but the references to the peace of God are everywhere. As Jesus is our peace, but he came to make peace, knowing without him you couldn't have peace. Without him, you're going to be needy. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Now, Isaiah 48 tells us how much peace he wants us to have. You'll recognize this because we sing this. Isaiah 48, verse 18. And here's the key to peace. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then, you see that then? That's the most important word in here, then. Had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. If you were listening, if you hearkened, if you followed the directive of the Spirit within you, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that guides the human spirit. If I'm following that, if I'm a word person, if I'm reading, if I'm meditating, I can have peace like a river. Now, have you seen the Mississippi? What river do you want to have peace with? Any of them would do for me because I don't swim too well. I took swimming lessons as a kid. My mother thought that was important, and I actually came home in distress, and she let me quit. My mother had a very soft side. You had to know how to tap in. Do you know you have to know how to tap into God?
Yes.
And here's he tell you, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. It's not sitting on the premises. That won't help you. It's standing on the promises. It's my constant focus in who He is and getting His directive and allowing His directive to guide my behavior and knowing when I turn something over to Him, I can turn loose of it. Somebody said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know. God's going to do it. They think you're crazy. I don't care what they think. I'll have my solution and they'll be back. That's what I know. I'll have my peace like a river. You know that song? Peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul. I have peace like a river. In other words, this is not in scant quantities. There's someone on the inside. And it says, what you have to do, here's my part. Hearken to my commandments. That means be a good listener. Now look at Proverbs 2. Is it Proverbs 2? You got to be a good listener. You got to have the word of God in your heart. You got Proverbs 3 it is. You got to know what God is saying to you about your disease, about your doctor, about your medication. You know, some things don't take much time. We have acreage, and we had a post office box, you know, a mailbox on the road. And our mail was floated down the canal into Saddle Creek. That was interesting. And somebody brought it back soaking wet. That's how I know what happened to it. And then they put some kind of explosive in our new mailbox and they blew it up. And we had this revelation. We need a post office box. Now, I didn't have to ask God about that. I just know, you know, we might lose some mail. Somebody said, I sent that to you. That already happened, actually. But see, when I reach out to God, I'm looking for His will, His way, His purpose. And when I find that, before I ever perfect that, we were at peace, total peace, when we decided to get a post office box, long before we went down there and paid it, cost 200 something a year, I think. Long before we went and said we want a post office box, long before we gave our explanation, when the day we decided that this was the will of God for us and this would be better for us was the day we had peace. And then the walking out, you're walking in peace. You're walking towards the things that you should do that God gives you to do. Now, one man told me his wife was very ill and he took her to the first doctor and he, in his spirit, he sensed, no, 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 no. I sing that to you, you know. My granddaughter taught me that. Actually, I was trying to teach her that, and she sang back to me, yes, yes, yes. She's now 30, so we're past that. So he took her to a second doctor, and he said he's sitting there, and he knew in his heart, this is not the one. So he took her to a doctor a considerable distance from them, and as he was sitting there, his heart said, peace, peace, wonderful peace. He was following the Spirit to the right medical treatment. We're not against medical treatment. We are for the one that's appropriate to you.
Amen.
And sometimes God doesn't need medical assistance. That's my favorite. Sometimes he doesn't need their help. Now, there was a man that had a brain tumor, an unusual brain tumor, a Florida man who, it doesn't occur too much, and they gave him, there's only two doctors, this was years ago, that could do that surgery. And he went to the first one because it was closer to him. That's how they made the decision. That doctor was closer. So he went to that doctor that was closer to him, and he just didn't like him. Has that ever happened to you? He just didn't like him. And he told his wife, the other doctor was way out in the panhandle some distance. He said, we'll just drive out there and stay a couple of days and see the doctor, and I'm not using this doctor. And God spoke right up, and he said, no, he's the one. Now, I don't know. He did do the surgery, and he had successful surgery. What would have happened had he gone to the panhandle? See, you've got to have, there's someone on the inside working on, there's someone giving you the directive. And when I get that directive and I know God has spoken, I have the DNA of God. Eternal life is the DNA of God. And in that DNA is joy and peace and long-suffering. Nine fruit are in my belly, in my spirit, that will guide my behavior, that will bring me to the solution that I need. And the first part of every solution is the decision that brings peace. Right? You're with me? Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Sometimes the reason we can't remember is we never read it. You knew that, right? My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. I've got to know what God is saying in his word. His word gives me so much directive. I've got to read the word, meditate in the word, meditate day and night. That means I've got to be a continual reader and quote the word. For it'll bring length of days and long life. The word will. The word will. And peace. Now, that's three pretty good deals. Length of days. If you ever had a day, it seemed like it's 32 hours and it was excruciating. You thought, this is the longest day I ever tried to live in my life. How about the day you said, boy, where'd the time go? Is it? It's not 9 o'clock already, is it? God said, that's what I can do. Well, I'd have to follow. I'll follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. Long life. The 91st Psalm says, until you're satisfied. Now, a lot of people teach that God has a date for you, and you know at 92 or 82 or 76 or for some strange reason at 49, you're over. You won't get that in the Scripture. It says you can live till you're finished, till you're satisfied, till you've accomplished, till your heart says, okay, come get me. Wayne's dad was very ill. And he was in the hospital. And Brother Wiley didn't know Wayne's dad. Brother Wiley came to visit the man next door that they had taken down to x-ray. And Wayne's older brother was there. Wayne has two brothers, an older and a younger. And his older brother was there, and he said, well, you can pray for Dad. Dad loves prayer. And that's the truth. Wayne's dad was a fine man. And so he said to Brother Wiley, pray that I go home. And so Brother Wiley is praying about the house and the nursing they're going to need. And Wayne's dad said, no. Tell God to come get me. He's satisfied. He's finished. Well, he's 89. He can be finished if he wants to be finished. You see? That's how long you're going to live. That's good news, isn't it? Final verse of the 91st Psalm. And I hear all the time, we don't know why God did that. I keep my mouth shut a lot, but usually it wasn't anything God did. Now, don't forget my law. Look at Philippians 4:9. The law, and it brings peace when I know what God is saying. I know God's directive. Then it brings great peace. And here he's called the God of peace. 1 Thessalonians, he's called the God of peace. The 2 Thessalonians, he's called the God of peace. Romans 15, he's called the God of peace. Romans 16, he's called the God of peace. That's who God is. That's part of his DNA, so to speak. He is the God of peace. And this says, those things which you've both learned and received. Okay, you get that part? Learned. Learned. You learn by reading. You learn by listening. You learn by sermons. You learn by study. Learn and received and heard. and seen in me. In other words, Paul has set an example for them, and my life should be an example, and your life should be an example. You should be able to say, when they say, how'd that happen to you? What happened to you? I thought you were really sick. There's your chance. Say, well, God healed me. Remind me to tell you something. And the God of peace shall be with you. He's with you when you hear and obey, when you hear and do. When you learn something, you receive something, you camp out on it, you know it, you have it in your spirit, your inner man, and you act on it. And then he brings great peace long before you see the solution. There was a preacher in California. His wife stood up in the service and said, I have a word from the Lord. He looked at her like, And he said, okay. And she got up and she said, I will live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord. That's a verse of scripture. And then she sat down and he went back to his. I thought to myself, why would she do that? Interrupt us with one verse of scripture. He said, that's what I thought. And 10 minutes later, a man dropped dead in the balcony. D-E-A, dead. And he went up to the balcony, smart preacher. He figured out, he connected the dots. He put his hand on that man. He said, you will live and not die. And the man went, okay. 2 weeks later, people said, oh, he wasn't really dead. You know, there's doubters and shouters. You'd be a shouter, not a doubter. 2 weeks later, it happened again. Man dropped flat, and he was very, very dead. He said, if you thought the first man wasn't dead, he said he was, but if you thought he wasn't, this man was dead. And he called some nurse or something that was in his congregation, and she looked at him, and she did her thing, and she said, well, he is dead. He said, okay, stand back. You will live and not die. And he went, all right. That's why you can have peace, because God has your solution. But you notice peace came on the end of learning, receiving, hearing, doing. Now I'm going to show you a verse in 2 Thessalonians about the God of peace. The final chapter, chapter 3. This is a little broader in spectrum than the other verses. Verse 16, chapter 3. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Does that cover everything? Give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Knox Bible, which is a very, very old translation, you'll not find it. If you find one on the antique market and you can pay for it, you pay for it and bring it to me. And may the Lord of peace grant you peace everywhere at all times. How good is that? God's objective is to grant you peace everywhere. Now here's the thing. Back to Galatians, the flesh and the spirit. Has anybody ever taken your parking place?
Yes.
I mean, you went around the block. You were waiting for that parking place.
Yeah.
You were sitting there with your little arrow flashing, flashing, flashing. And they came from the other direction, took your space. And there for a minute, it wasn't peace you had, it was anger. Because you yielded to the flesh. I mean, we've all done that, right? You have to rule from the man on the inside. He has to rule. The man on the flesh will get you in trouble. He shouts loud. He's somewhat, have you noticed the man in the flesh is somewhat overwhelming? Me too. Now, he's the God of peace. We found that twice. It's in 1 Thessalonians. The very God of peace, chapter 5, verse 23. Sanctify the very God of peace, and I love that, the very. If you saw someone famous and you told me and I said, oh, was that him? Was that really him? Was that the very one? And this is God himself, the very God of peace. He's the God of peace. And what does he want you? Colossians, he wants peace to rule. He said, let peace rule. Peace is supposed to be in charge, not anger. peace is in charge. So I have to think. I told Wayne, just give me a minute. And I go, peace, peace, wonderful peace. You know what I wanted to say? How late did she say she'd be? That's what I wanted to say. I mean, we never have any situations that are huge unless they're about me. I make them huge. Is that what you do? Well, I'll just delicately say, shame on us, right? Now, look at the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. The God of peace. What did they say at Jesus' birth? What did the angels sing? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. God's objective was to bring peace. Was to bring you in touch with eternal life, which is the DNA of God, so that you could walk with God, so you could make right decisions, so that you could have constant peace. And in the most difficult situation, you could turn over to God. If you couldn't fix it, you didn't know what to do, He knew what to do, He'd fix it for you. And that was His objective, to work with you and to work for you so that you always have peace. And peace was always the ruling factor. And it says the Word of God brings us peace. We read that in Proverbs 2. It's the Word of God, my time in the Word, that gives me peace. We read it in Philippians. It's when I know the Word and I do the Word that I can expect what's in the Word. The Word, it says in Philippians, Hebrews 4, is quick. Now, that didn't mean anything to us unless you cut your fingernail into the quick. That word quick means living. The Word of God is alive. It's the very breath of God, according to 2 Timothy. It's the very breath of God. All scriptures given by inspiration. That word inspiration is heavenly breathed or God breathed. And the Word of God is the very breath of God. And it's living and it's powerful. So when I read and meditate in the Word, I'm not just reading to learn. I'm reading to walk in the power, to have the breath of God breathe on me so that I can step forth in His power and win the race. Now, Isaiah 9:6, you know, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is he? Who is God? He's the God of peace. What's his objective? That you would have peace beyond understanding, peace like a river. So he sent Jesus, who was the Prince of Peace, to die so you could have peace. But you won't have peace if you don't find out in the Word how to get it, hear and do. Now look at Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. You know, I memorized the books of the Bible when I was a kid. And sometimes the fact that you memorize them, if you're in the Spirit, they won't come back to you. I don't know if you know the difference in spirit and memory and mind, but that's, I have them in my mind, but sometimes my spirit says, now, where was that? Deuteronomy 28:1. You didn't get that right. You got that? You understood that? There's a difference in mind and spirit. You can put it in your mind and not in your spirit. And that's what I did. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. You know, I have them in my mind. And I get deep in the spirit, I can't find them. That's just the truth. And I almost missed Deuteronomy. It shall come to pass, if, you see if? Mm-hmm. Thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I mean, you got to be a good listener. I know you like me, somebody's talking to you and it wasn't anything you really needed to know or really wanted to hear. And they just needed to say it. And you're looking kind of over their shoulder and around. And they notice that you're not paying close attention. Has that ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. Well, that's happened to me. You know, they know you're not paying attention. Hearken diligently unto the voice, and observe to do. Once you've hearkened, once you've listened, once you've made the Word of God and got it in your heart and begin to do and walk in it, then the peace of God begins to function. See, and if I'm not functioning in peace, maybe I wasn't hearkening diligently. And then maybe I did listen, I did know what to do, but I didn't want to do it. Has that ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. This happens to me a lot. Wayne will say, what do we want to have for supper? And I go, I said, what would you like? I'm hedging. You can't hedge with God. He knows you didn't pay attention. I said, I'll get right back, God, and read that verse again. It's just amazing that you can't. So it's the God of peace who sent the Prince of Peace, who sent the gospel of peace. The word of God that we're talking about meditating in is called the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of peace in Ephesians 6. The gospel of peace. This book is the good news about peace, where it is, how to find it, how to walk in it. Ephesians chapter 6. It's in verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What kind of gospel is this? What kind of good news is this? It's the good news about peace. And you're supposed to wear it on your feet. Well, I don't know about you, but I was pre-tennis shoes, okay? Wasn't anybody wearing tennis? I remember seeing my first pair of tennis shoes and I went, what in the world? I just horrified. What was that? And somebody said, they're tennis shoes. I said, they're what? They're tennis shoes. Everybody wore loafers. You remember that? Anybody remember that? Okay, we all wore loafers. When you didn't have on your loafers, because Mama didn't want you to mess up your loafers, because we didn't get but one pair of loafers a year. Because you didn't outgrow those, because if you did outgrow those, you wore them anyway. That's how it was. We had a lot of sand spurs. You knew what I was coming to, didn't you? And you have bare feet? See, if I'm not clothed in the Word of God, I'm going to get stuck somewhere, somehow. And I'm going, how'd that happen? Because you didn't hear and do. You didn't hearken diligently. You weren't listening. Proverbs 4 says you focus, you listen, you watch carefully, and you guard it. And so when I have the word, I keep repeating it and keep repeating it and keep repeating it. When God deals with me about a verse that I need, I keep repeating it. And I keep repeating it because that verse is divinely inspired. It was given to me for my situation. And I want to have it always on the tip of my tongue. I don't want to ever turn loose of that because that word brings me peace. And behind peace, peace comes, listen to me, before your answer. It's not that when God answers that then you have peace. Peace comes because you know he's coming, because you know he's going to answer. He's here. The gospel of peace, the God of peace, sent the gospel of peace. If I have to meditate in it, I have to hear it, I have to hearken, I have to do it. So that sounds like a lot of work. Well, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. I've opened my Bible to read when the Holy Ghost just went, whoosh. I've got to sit there all day long. It's like, and then sometimes I'm just enduring to the end. I was going to read Ephesians all the way through. So here I am, chapter 4, and I flip over because I'm bad about that. If I'm going to read a book, I always check and see how many chapters are in it and how many pages are in each chapter, because I do not like to read. Well, I always look and see. Okay, 6 chapters. Oh, 6 pages. Oh, no, it's 8 pages. Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my. And the thing, I didn't endure to the end. That was the problem. I gave up. Give up, you lose. We all know that because we already lost, didn't we? Did anybody ever lost anything? No? Yes? The God of peace sent the gospel of, sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace. And Romans 3 said the sinner does not know the way of peace. He sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace to the sinner, so the sinner, which was where we all were at one time or another, so the sinner could have peace so that we could walk in the direction of heaven and that peace would manifest and materialize. And then I have, don't have to have frustration, anger, relational difficulties. Then I'm free. Now, here's the key. Jesus said, when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. So if I don't know the word of God, I'm not believing God, and my faith is not active in God, then I am going to be troubled. He said, you don't have to be troubled. You can believe. You don't have to be troubled. You can believe. And then he said, later in that chapter, chapter 14, John, my peace I give you. The very peace that God carries, the very peace that Jesus had. When you go to the garden and where Jesus was praying and you can see the agony And then if you'll read, in a, especially in the Remedy and some other translations, if you'll read, you see his agony. You can see it in the King James. And then you see there's a turning, and he turns loose of it, and he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And you may have agony for a moment, frustration, irritation, fear, relational difficulty. But when I go to the Scripture and I turn to the might and power of God and I say, "Thank you for your solution. Since any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally." You don't always know what to do. But I said, "If you'll tell me what to do, I'll do it. And otherwise, I'm just leaving it with you to do what you think's right." He said, "You can't do that. I already did. It works. Works just fine." When somebody asked me, I'd say, "I don't know. God's got it." And they'll stare at you because they don't know that. They think the problem's yours, the solution's yours. No, if the problem's mine, I belong to God, and the solution is his. You got all that? The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace so that the sinner could have peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53:6. Take a deep breath. Say, "I'm going to remember this the rest of my life. I will never forget how to get peace." I don't see all the mouths moving. I will never forget how to get peace. I will forever read the gospel of peace. Stand in line with the Prince of Peace and shout the victory before I see it.